Welcome to The Final Word, a Bible teaching ministry with pastor, teacher, and author Jim Andrews. The Final Word is grounded on the invincible conviction that what the Bible teaches, God teaches. And that is the last word. On this program, truth still matters. The Bible is in, Babel is out. The Final Word is funded by listeners like you. Should you want to partner with us or want other information about the program, please go to our website at thefinalwordradio.com. There you'll find archives so you can listen to any program you may have missed. Visit us on our social media platforms at The Final Word Radio and write us a note. We love hearing from our listeners. We'll provide other contact information at the end of the program, so have your pen ready. And now Jim Andrews continues his current study of God's Word.
Good day, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you for joining us again on The Final Word. Before I launch today's exposition, I want to make our listening audience aware of some articles that I have written and tell you how to access them. If you will go to jimandrewsbooks.com, that's one word, jimandrewsbooks.com, you will discover there some articles that I produced over the years that you may find interesting and helpful. For example, one of the most recent articles was my take on the demise of the culture wars and where I think we ought to go from here. Another article that appeared several years ago in a journal for biblical manhood and womanhood is entitled Boundaries Without Bonds. Another is a rebuttal of a tract that appeared several years back. The author attempted cleverly, but as I will show unsuccessfully, to persuade us that the scriptures do not condemn homosexual practice after all. That has all been a misunderstanding. Well, there will be others, but I mentioned those three. I'm not a regular blogger, but when sometimes things pop up on my radar that I feel I would like to address in a thoughtful way, I will sometimes produce a longer article like some of these. So I'm just happy to share them with you for whatever benefit they may have.
We continue our exposition of the Gospel of John. We're in John chapter 8. We were just looking at verse 30. Jesus has been locked in controversy with some of his enemies. In the course of his ministry there in the temple area at the Feast of Tabernacles, we believe, many came to believe in him as he spoke these things. The Lord Jesus knew his audience. In some cases, their commitment, as we explained in our last program, was only skin deep, including many of these who believed in him, as we will shortly see. It had no real root, like some of the seed scattered by the sower, it fell upon ground that was shallow, and it had no root, got no water. Even so, our Lord graciously waters their profession with words of reassurance and promise for those who would follow through. If you continue in my words, Jesus was saying to those Jews who had believed in him, and right there is a red flag to those Jews, because ordinarily in John, that represents the establishment who were hostile to Jesus, and this indicates that some may have started leaning his way. Therefore, Jesus was saying to those Jews who had believed in him, if you abide in my word, then you are truly disciples of mine. And notice that emphasis. Then you are truly disciples of mine, and you will know the truth, and the truth will make you free. You will see in verse 33 how they, those Jews who had believed in him, all of a sudden get their back up. We'll not get there in this study, but we're going to look at verses 31 and 32. And the starting point to breaking down those walls that distort us and create so much chaos and despair and dysfunctionality in our lives is this. If you continue in my word, the demolition of the wicked walls of Jericho start right here. If you continue in my word. But folks, we need to understand clearly what our Lord Jesus is talking about when he says, if you continue, if you abide, if you remain in my word. The first thing we need to understand is what he means by my word, the import of it. His word is his message about his person, his work, his will. That is, if we continue to commit to his message about his person, his work, and his will. Take, for example, his message about his person. Jesus claims he was sent from God. He claims that he is the Son of God, that he is the Savior of the world. that he came to die on a cross as an atoning sacrifice for the sins of those who would receive him. He claimed that he is the way, the truth, and the light. He claimed he is the light of the world. He claimed he is the bread of life. He claimed that if we would eat his flesh and drink his blood, that is, appropriate his sacrifice, we will have eternal life. He claimed that nobody comes to the Father except through him. He claimed that he is the Lord of the universe who holds life and death in his hands, that he would be raised from the dead and be seated at the right hand of the Father, and that he would come again to receive his own and to reign in righteousness on the earth. If you continue in my word, if you continue adhering to that message. Now, to continue in his word is something far deeper, folks, than intellectual assent to the truthfulness of what Jesus taught. So we're talking now not about his word, but about the import of continuing in his word. Continuing in his word, the message I just defined, is something more radical than repeating a creed and saying, I subscribe to his doctrine, standing up Sunday morning and reciting the Apostles' Creed noddingly. To continue in his word, I'm saying, is something more radical than repeating a creed perfunctorily, mechanically, and saying, I subscribe to those doctrines. It's more than agreeing with what Jesus and his apostles teach is true. Continuing in my word comes down to moral as well as intellectual commitment and alignment. It means to commit in conduct as well as to commit in creed. It comes down not only to putting our names on it, but putting shoe leather into it. It comes down to walking the talk. It comes down to Monday morning conformity to his teachings, as well as Sunday morning assent. I'm talking about what it means in John 8, verse 31, to continue in my word. For Jesus says, if you continue in my word, my message, which I described earlier, if you continue in it, then you are truly my disciples, otherwise you are not. Jesus doesn't recognize as faith that bogus imitation of it that stands around on one leg, that is, an intellectual leg. It includes walking in and conforming to the truth as he commanded it. We're not talking here about legalism. We're talking about faith-driven obedience, love-driven obedience. It has to do with practice, that is, continuing in his word. Has to do with practice as much as propositions. His commandment is to walk in love and in holiness of life. That means walking within the boundaries of God's moral law. Again, I'm not talking about mechanical, letteristic legalism. I'm talking about faith-driven obedience, faith-driven moral conformity to the law of God. That means conforming to the example of Jesus. It means loving God with all of our heart, with all of our strength, and loving our neighbor as ourselves. That's the sum and substance of the law of God. Somebody says, oh, but, you know, now that we're believers in our Lord Jesus Christ, we have no relationship to the moral law of God. Well, my friends, did we ever read Romans chapter 8? That what the law could not do, weak as it was through the flesh, God did. What'd he do? He sent his Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and he sent him as an offering, an atoning offering for our sin, so he could condemn sin in the flesh in order that what may happen, that the requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us, who walk not according to the flesh any longer, but according to the Spirit. And as we walk in the Spirit, we have a faith in Christ, we have a love in Christ that drives us to do God's moral will. Of course. And that's what Jesus means by continuing in my word. Not just intellectual commitment merely, but also commitment to the will of God in the moral realm, to conformity to the law of God. We can never perfectly fulfill it. We can't even come close. But that's where the atoning blood of the Lord Jesus Christ cleanses us from our defilement, and that's where the application of the righteousness of Christ fills in the blanks. If you continue in my word, starting with Jesus, friends, means nothing unless you finish with him. Jesus said, if you continue in my word, there's a reason why Jesus stressed following through to these Jews who had ostensibly believed in him. You know a real fighter because he doesn't quit. Likewise, you know genuine faith, saving faith, because it doesn't quit. It doesn't peel off. It doesn't deviate from the path and go off into the wilderness of wickedness and unbelief. It hangs tough whenever the promises of God seem impossible or may seem impractical. Wall breaking doesn't happen for dash men. It happens only for marathon people, for those who continue in His Word. A flashy start is fine, but let's make sure we sustain with a furious finish. If you continue in My Word, Jesus says, then there are practical effects. And the first one is, you will know. Then and only then you'll know you're for real. Jesus says, in effect, you show me the people who stay on My page, who keep marching to the drumbeat of My Word, My message, who continue walking in step with the Spirit of God. Now these, I'm telling you, He says to those who had ostensibly believed in Him, these are My disciples. You want to prove you're for real? You want to prove that your faith has root? You want to prove that your faith is drawing on living water? Well, here's the way. You continue in My Word, and then you will prove that you are My disciples, real ones. Now here, I want to talk about a false distinction, folks. Let's not misunderstand our Lord Jesus at this point. There is out there a notion that by disciple, Jesus means some sort of super Christian, what I sometimes call an Eagle Scout Christian. You know, when He says, then you are truly My disciples, some think He means the Christian equivalent to a high-performance car. In other words, as this confused idea goes, a disciple is a Christian, is a believer plus, a Christian who's decided to go the extra mile with Christ. That distinction is pernicious, and it is misleading. As misleading as the distinction between a student and a scholar, between a jock and an athlete, as bogus as a distinction between a believer in a free market economy and a capitalist. A believer is a disciple, and a disciple is a believer. In all but three instances, Christians in the book of Acts are called disciples. People can be believers in name only, and they can be disciples in name only. And we saw that, disciples used in that way in John 6. But what I'm trying to say is, the Scriptures do not make a distinction between being a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ and being a disciple in our Lord Jesus Christ. Now just think what Jesus' words here imply. If you continue in My Word, John 8:31, if you continue in My Word, then you are truly My disciples. This is a badge of authenticity. Jesus knows that not everyone who goes around wearing a big hat owns cattle. Some people make a loud Christian profession, but they don't prove out in practice. Some are spiritual wiffle balls. They are just full of holes, and there's no substance. Some who profess Christ, folks, don't possess Christ. They amount to little more than a bag of gas in a three-piece suit. There are people who belong to some church and people who belong to Christ. Some folk just play the game. Others have joined the battle. Some are just weekend warriors. And others are real soldiers of the cross. Jesus says that it is those who continue in His Word, not just intellectually, not just creedally, but in terms of conduct, who continue in His Word, they prove something. There is a proof of relationship in that. There is a badge of authentic discipleship. And that badge of authentic discipleship is continuing. And that is a present tense. It's an ongoing thing. In My Word. Now, let's get to the bottom line. Let's talk about the essence of discipleship. Following Jesus is the essence of being a Christian. I'm talking about faith-driven following. Miss that point, and you miss everything. Following Jesus is not going to a church service, getting a blissed out look in our eye, a tear in the corner, and raising and waving our hands. It is cleansing our hands. It is keeping the commandments of our Lord Jesus Christ. Following Jesus, folks, is something much bigger than being a better husband and a better father, as socially beneficial as that is. That's a good place to start, by the way. But following Jesus is becoming a disciple in every dimension of life. Following Jesus is not just making God a little more of a priority in my life. Ah, let's get it. It's an unconditional surrender of my life and my will to Christ. Folks, Hear me. Religion can be a matter of heritage. Any religion, including Christian religion. Religiosity can be a matter of habit. It can be perfunctory, ritualistic, ceremonial, superficial, or it can be an affair of the heart. Ask yourself, what evidence can you adduce that your heart is where your mouth is? Some of you have heard me say on this program, and many others agree, and some have said similar things whose names you would know if I were to repeat them. But I have said that based on my pastoral experience and based on the benchmarks that I see in the New Testament, in the Scriptures, I would be surprised when the Lord returns if 50% of the people in the kinds of evangelical churches that I have witnessed and experienced in the course of my Christian life turn out to be believers, that is, to be those who hear the Lord say, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant. You've been faithful in a few things. I will make you ruler over many. Enter into the joy of your Lord." I will be surprised. That'll be a good surprise, but I will be surprised. Because when we do a little fruit inspecting, there seems to be a huge gap statistically between those who simply go to church and those who follow Christ. But one man told me, said, "Jim, I've only heard one thing that you've ever said over your program, and I listen regularly, that I disagree with. And it's that statement." He said, "In my opinion, it's more like 10 or 15%. Well, he might be right, but, you know, I don't know. But I do know that a lot of professing Christians live in such a way that they do not appear to be continuing in His Word in the sense that we've described. Folks, only one outward evidence counts. It's our walk. In the business world, they say money talks. In the Christian world, it's the walk that talks. We are saved by faith, not by works. We are saved by faith alone. But, as someone has said, not a faith that is alone. The faith that saves always works. It works the works of God. That's what Jesus said. What shall we do that we do the works of God? Jesus said, "This is the work of God, that you believe in Him whom He has sent." And we cannot believe in Him whom He sent. We cannot trust in Him. There's no way to trust in someone and to have confidence in someone and then not have that translate into obeying them, following them. Vance Havner, the late Vance Havner, long since dead in the 20th century, once said that if it walks like a duck, quacks like a duck, likes to keep the company of ducks, it probably is a duck. By the same token, he said, if one walks like the godless, talks like the godless, prefers the company of the godless, then in all probability that person still belongs to the godless. My dear friends, discipleship is not a condition of salvation. Discipleship is a litmus test of regeneration. Discipleship, following Christ, does not impart life. It's just a vital sign that tells where life exists or doesn't. Discipleship is to your Christianity what your pulse is to your body. No pulse, dead body. No fruit, dead faith. No fruit, no root. So Jesus says, if you continue in My Word, that is your assurance that you are for real, that you really are His disciples. It is a badge of authenticity. But there's a second consequence, blessed consequence, of continuing in His Word. He says, you will know the truth. And the truth will make you free. You will know the truth. The biggest reason people don't conform to His Word, to His truth, is because they're not convinced of the truth of the truth. They are not convinced of the truth of God's Word, of Christ's Word, because they haven't experienced the reality of what they superficially believe. Now, I'll speak to men for a moment. Not that it doesn't apply to women too, but especially men. We men crave reality. The problem is we tend to ask for assurance of reality in all the wrong places. We want assurance of reality in steel trap argument and objective evidences. We want assurance of reality in powerful emotional stimulation. We want assurance of reality in experiences of the drama of the supernatural. Well, we can get, friends, the cart before the horse, and we often do. Understand this. Understand what Jesus is saying. He is saying that spiritual certainty starts with moral conformity. If you continue in my word, then you are truly, authentically disciples of mine. You have the badge, and then you will know the truth. You will have certainty of the truth. Spiritual certainty starts with moral conformity. It doesn't start with steel trap arguments and evidences. It's not locked down by powerful emotional stimulation or in experiences of the supernatural. Assurance of the truth, folks, comes with obedience to the truth. I cannot say that strongly enough. Assurance of the truth comes with obedience to the truth. Obedience to God is the only highway where the people of God meet assurance. Conformity to the truth always ushers in a sense of the reality of it. So many people, for example, who are insecure in their salvation, when you get right down to it, they are insecure for one of two reasons, in most cases that I've ever encountered. Either they don't understand the gospel as well as they should. They don't understand the terms, the plan of salvation. That is sometimes one problem. But I think the bigger problem for people who are always shaking in the wind and insecure in their salvation and lack the joy of it is because they're not walking in the truth. They're disobedient and they lack assurance. Like an athlete, they keep trying to win by playing half-heartedly. Well, you're not going to get there from here, I can assure you. Conformity to the truth always ushers in a sense of the reality of it as well as joy in it. The call of Jesus, my friends, is never to see and come, but it is to come and see. You're not going to get assurance right up front and then be invited into the game. It is in the act of following Christ that we become fully assured of the facts concerning Him. In obeying His word, you pass from creed to conviction. Do you hear that? It is in obeying, consistently, obeying His word, we pass from creed to conviction. It is in continuing in His word that you pass from theological statements about the truth to personal experience of it. And that means you move from knowing about God intellectually to knowing God personally. It's when we relinquish ourselves to Christ that Christ reveals Himself to us. Read the first 11 verses of Luke chapter 5 and you'll see an example of that very thing. Finally, Jesus says, if you continue in my word, you prove yourself truly my disciples. That's number one. And it's then that you will know the truth. You'll have that certainty that every heart seeks. And then, he says, the truth will set you free. Let me give you some practical illustrations of the way truth lived out and confirmed by the Spirit of God sets us free to do what we ought to do. That's what he means. Sets us free to do what we ought to do. Along the path of my Christian experience, I've seen those times when God did not seem to live up to His billing or perform as advertised. I've seen those times when God's ways in my life at a given time did not seem, and I emphasize the word seem, at the time, to be either loving or wise. Yet, keeping my head down and my feet of faith moving, at some point, God always breaks in like the sun pops out after a savage storm. And I see the glory of God and the promises of His word confirmed. I call these monuments. They are those markers along the way where God has tested over time my unconditional surrender to His word. And then, after stringing me out, God has wonderfully intervened to confirm His promises and His principles. We'll have to come back to this thought, pick up that thread again, and complete our explanation. We thank you, friends, for joining us on The Final Word. God bless you and have a wonderful day.
The Final Word is a listener-supported ministry. Should you want to partner with us or want other information about this program, please visit our website at thefinalwordradio.com. Our postal address is The Final Word, 4565 Carmen Drive, Lake Oswego, Oregon, 97035. Our email address is info@thefinalwordradio.com. Our phone number is 503-699-9840. If this program has ministered to you, tell a friend about it. We do solicit your prayers for God's hand upon this outreach.